You tuned in Newsdown Radio 92 FM. This is the Community Hour, and I'm Pete Dane. Now, I know those of a certain age, I know you may well remember, I know the thick smogs, yeah, that engulfed London through the 1950s into the 1960s. I mean, of course, following legislation to curb pollution, these, I don't know, pea supers, as they were so called, they've sort of gone now. We don't see them anymore. They were sort of like thick swirling pool, and God, they're an amazing thing. They were pea supers, yeah. Anyway, what does that mean for air quality in East London? Is there a problem of it now, or is it all this pollution gone? Do we face new challenges? Well, here to look at these issues, we're joined now live in the studio by Jenny Bates, Friends of the Earth London campaigner and air pollution campaigner as well. Thanks for joining us here at Newsound Radio 92 FM.
Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, well, tell us, is there a problem of air pollution in London and East London in particular?
I'm afraid there is. I mean, it'd be nice to think that it was sort of gone away, as you said, but in reality, although we can't see it like we could then, it's actually very much here and very dangerous. It actually kills about 3,000 or 4,000 Londoners a year. Prematurely each year.
I mean, where do these vehicles come from? Where does this come from?
Well, people? No, this is Public Health England, serious facts. Right. And if you break it down into local authority areas, in Newham, like, it's 98 people a year die prematurely because of dirty air. So it's, you know, people don't realise it's second only to smoking as a cause of premature death.
And what do people actually die from? Well,
it's a mixture of things, because it affects the young and the elderly particularly, and those with existing conditions. So, I mean, one of the big problems is that children's lungs don't even develop properly, so then they have a lifetime of sort of, you know, problems coming from that, and people die of heart attacks earlier, you know, than they would have done. It's that sort of thing. It's you never see air pollution on a death certificate, but it's you know, things that contribute to those sort of problems. And it's more than alcohol, more than obesity. It's a very big problem.
Okay, well, if you like, that's the problem. I mean, where does this pollution come from, though? Because, like I say, in the 1950s, 1960s, there was the big power stations, weren't there? And people used to have open fires and things like that, and they introduced legislation. People had to use smokeless fuel, and the big power stations, a lot of them closed down or they moved out and things like that. And we don't seem to have those thick smogs anymore. Well, where's this pollution coming from, then?
Well, it is largely a traffic problem. So it is, you know, the main roads are the big problem. You look at a map and you can actually sort of see the roadmap of London by where the worst air pollution is. But it, you know, there are also contributions from other things, you know, any sort of combustion. So it's sort of people's sort of heating and that sort of thing as well. But traffic is the main thing that we can, you know, do something about, and people need to be aware of also because of how they travel and where they travel. So people can try and avoid the worst sort of hotspots, as it were.
I mean, how does London compare? I'm just thinking, you know, look, we're a big city and people drive cars around, there's buses going up and down and all the rest of it. How does London compare with other cities, though? I mean, there's nothing special about London in this, is
there? Well,
London
is the worst in the UK. I mean, we're you know, we were always sort of, you know, bound to be in a way, weren't we? But a lot of other big cities in the UK are also a problem. Birmingham, Manchester. I mean, we're not set to meet the standards that the World Health Organization and the European Union have set to protect health until 2030. And that's 20 years after we were supposed to meet them. And that's really not good enough. I mean, the UK isn't the only place in Europe who's got a problem. But, you know, there's been some figures that show that, you know, it's hard to find anywhere with recorded worse nitrogen dioxide pollution than in our Oxford Street. So diesels are also a particular problem, and that's something that's happened recently. People have tended to get more diesel cars and bigger cars as well, great big sort of SUVs.
Yeah, these great big 4x4s driving around. You think you don't really need, they're for driving around on a farm or something, not really for driving around East London, aren't they?
I mean, the main thing is a lot of people, you know, if it was sort of safer and easier to walk and cycle, people would like to do that, and you get exercise at the same time. But, you know, cycling hasn't been made safe enough. Public transport isn't good enough. It's not affordable enough. So we need to do things to help improve it like that. And also, we mustn't make it worse. And of course, you know, there are plans afoot to sort of actually add to the problem, which is,
I mean, just picking some of these things you're saying apart now. I mean, what you're saying is, like, you know, if people cycled more and walked more and things like that, well, of course, well, people need to drive, people need to get about the city. I mean, how can that be avoided, really? I mean,
well, there's always going to be some essential vehicle journeys, and nobody's saying there shouldn't, and nobody's talking about, you know, closing all the roads down or anything.
Right,
But the more we can, you know, get journeys that don't need to be on the roads, you know, off the roads, then
what sort of things are you talking about there?
Space. Well, people who drive when they don't need to, because maybe public transport is too expensive, or because they don't.
I'm just thinking how this could be improved. Yeah. Then
So if people feel safer to cycle, then they'd actually rather like to cycle if it was clean enough and safe enough to cycle.
Because that is an issue with cycling, isn't it?
Some people are roads have clogged up with people that don't really need to be there, and that also causes a problem for the people who do need to be on the roads. You know, plumbers or somebody with their tools. So obviously there are key journeys that are needed, but the key is to get the roads used more by them and not by people who don't need to be there.
Right. So improving public transport is one thing that we're talking about here. I mean, also, it seems to me that more people seem to be moving about in the city. Is there anything that, you know, people sort of seem to, like, live and work in places further and further away, or in shopping and things? We tend to go further for our shopping, don't we? I mean, is there anything to be done about that?
Era of out-of-town shopping, wasn't it, that caused a lot of problems, and, you know, great big sort of car parks, and obviously that's a key thing. But yeah, and centralizing hospitals, and, you know, there may be good reasons for that, but there's, yes, you're absolutely right, we don't always need to, and it's how we plan our city. So when we regenerate an area, we need to try and do it so that all the key sort of services and amenities we need are nearby. And also for jobs, we need to try and encourage sort of employers and opportunities for workspaces in and around where people live, so you actually don't need to travel unless you want to, and then when you do need to travel, you should have you know, safe and affordable clean transport options. And then people will like to do those.
Okay, I'm thinking here in East London. I mean, is there anything that's happening or being planned in East London that you've got something to say about? I don't know. I'm just thinking in terms of, I mean, the other day we was talking about, the other few weeks ago, wasn't it? We was talking about the tunnel, weren't we? The Silvertown Tunnel. Could you tell us something about that? I mean, what you think about
that?
Yeah,
there are some bad plans afoot, which really we shouldn't be even thinking about. You know, the mayor wants to put 2 or 3 great big new road crossings across the river. Silvertown, where the Blackwall Tunnel is already a big problem, and also at Galleons Reach and maybe at Belvedere, and these would just add to traffic and add to congestion in the wider area and add to air pollution. So we need to be cutting traffic levels, not adding to them. And then you've got something like City Airport, and, you know, it's already a huge sort of issue with noise, but also causes air pollution, and the airport wants to expand and have a new taxiway and have, you know, various
increasing sort of, the number of flights. Yeah, is what
that would help. That would help them sort of get more flights at the times they want, and overall it would add to the problem. So, you know, this ruling you mentioned recently basically said that the government is, you know, needs to do more. That, you know, they're saying that people.
Who's it? Which court was this?
It went to the European Court of Justice.
Right.
And they basically came down on the side of the group that took the claim, saying that, yes, the government has to do more to protect people's health, and they basically have to come up with a better plan to try and reach sort of, you know, levels of pollutants that are generally lower and safer quicker. Because
I've got this right. Is it the British government or is it the London government here? Have they breached some guidelines, broken some laws here?
Yeah,
is it?
We're
is
way over the sort of legal limits, as I say, which are set by the European Union, but those are in turn set by what the World Health Organization recommends. And we're way over that here, and East London is very bad. You know, as I say, they're not expected to meet getting down to those levels till about 2030, and that's far
too late.
I mean,
how are they going to get down these levels? What have they got in plan?
So we do need to do various things. We need to do, you know, we need to get cleaner vehicles, and obviously that's one part of it. Whatever vehicles we do have need to be cleaner, but we also need to cut traffic.
When you say we, I mean, how could that happen? I mean, is this individually, or has this got to be legislation?
No, it's a
mix
of things. And, you know, it's the government sort of putting in place sort of requirements for, you know, how clean vehicles should be with the manufacturers, and it's also Europe has a...
Because, of course, there's these low emission zones, aren't there?
Yeah. I mean, well, we've got a low emission zone here in London already. Right. it covers the whole of London.
Yeah, how does that work? I mean, consider saying
yeah, that sort of prohibits some of the dirtiest vehicles, but that could be ramped up. The mayor also proposes a central London low emission zone, which is the same area as the congestion charge, but basically other areas should be included in it, not just the very central boroughs, and other boroughs around want to be part of it.
And this would say, it would say that you have to have certain things fitted to your vehicle, or you you've got an old van which is chucking out loads and loads of...
How clean a vehicle should be. Right. But, yeah, it should be introduced sooner, it should be bigger, it should be stronger. So, yeah, there are some things being done, but not enough. And as I say, you also need to sort of make the alternatives more attractive and safer, to walk and cycle and take public transport.
Yeah. But I mean, what could be done? Just thinking in terms of public transport, I mean, what would make public transport better, do you think, or encourage people to do? What do you think?
I think it is a mix of things like affordability, like reliability, like safety. But we do need some investment in new public transport as well. And like crossing the river, people want to be able to cross the river, but we just shouldn't be doing it in a way that it adds more traffic. So we need to, we need more public transport across the river.
So would you be in favour, say, of building a bridge across the river and, like, just say, have it just as bus lanes or as more trains and things
like that? Yeah, absolutely. I think there should be DLR extensions. There could be walk and cycle only crossings. You can have a multi-stop fast ferry. You could have all sorts of things. There's a DLR extensions that have been looked at and should be put in place.
Okay. Also, in terms of looking at cycling as well, because, I mean, I'll tell you what, I mean, I'll come clean on this. I mean, I used to be a bit of a cyclist, and then I thought, it's too dangerous in London. And I do occasionally get on, you know, one of the Barclays bikes sort of thing, the Boris bike sort of thing. But, you know, cycling in London just seems to me, it's just too dangerous. It is, yeah. Well, and just looking, and we've had people in here who've been talking about campaigning against deaths on the so-called cycle superhighways and things like that.
Well, they're now looking at putting a bit of, you know, actually segregated cycle space.
Now, what do you mean segregated?
Well,
it means
actually separated off from the road rather than just a bit of paint on the road.
Right, and so it'd actually be like a small fence or a little brick wall or something.
Sort of,
okay, so that people can't get...
You know, and that can make a huge difference to how people feel about it.
Yep. In a way, we have actually got there on Stratford High Street. There's a part of that, isn't there, which goes between the Bow Flyover coming up towards Stratford Broadway.
Yeah, there's been a big problem with some you know, the Bow Flyover, really awful. So, yes, there are things that can be done.
So you've been in favour of more of them, yep.
Yeah, and then you start to get many more people doing it, and that in turn helps... you know, the more cut traffic levels, the more people cycle, the more you cut traffic levels, and then that may in turn means there's less pollution, which in turn makes it more attractive for people to cycle. So
yes, there's
that's
a bit
how
of
it
a
can work.
There's a bit of a thing that's all kind of happening here, where you've got to kind of break something, a chain that's going on. I don't
that's
know.
Right.
Is there a way of doing that though? I mean, who can do it? Can we do it as individuals, or is this something that government's got to do? Or is it something that the London councils or the local councils got to do? How do you actually start this whole thing rolling that you're talking about? It's a big thing that you're talking about. How do you actually get it started? Where do you think it comes from?
I think it's all of us. And it has, you know, each of us individually, well, we can put pressure on our councils to do things. We can make our own choices better. And if we realise how bad air pollution is, we may want to make better choices about how we travel. Also, it is the councils, it is the mayor, and it is the government. So it's all of those things. But, you know, at least there's a really exciting chance now that because the EU, European Union, has intervened and basically trying to protect the health of Londoners and the people in the UK, has actually said, no, the government hasn't been doing enough, and we have to try and really ramp up plans to sort of cut these dreadful, pollutants and make it better sooner.
And as you were saying, you know, people are dying as well. How many again? Say that number again. Go on.
It's 3,000 or 4,000 people a year in London dying prematurely, and in Newham alone, it's 98 a year dying prematurely because
that's incredible,
of bad air.
Isn't it?
I know.
If that was for anything else,
it's far more than road traffic accidents. Yeah. As I say, it's worse than obesity, worse than alcohol, all of those things. It's second only to smoking as a cause of premature death. And you know, having our children growing up, it should be a right to clean air, and that's what this European ruling has done. It's trying to protect our right to clean air, which our government and our mayor and our councils haven't done enough about.
Okay, this is a big issue, isn't it? I'll tell you what though, we've got to go to the break now, but before we do, if there's just one thing that people could do, yeah, to improve air quality in London? People were just sitting at home listening. What would that be? What's the one thing that they could do?
Oh, goodness, now you're asking me. They should get in touch
with you. You can say more than one if you like.
Go on. Get in touch with you and tell you why they think their council should do more, why the mayor should do more. So, yeah, it's about, you know, letting people know. And we just want to make people aware so they can protect their own health and help protect the health of everybody else.
Jenny Bates from Friends of the Earth. Thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM. But you will stay there, won't you? Because after the break, we're looking at legacy and the Olympic Games. And is it too late to fulfil some of these promises? Or stay tuned. Yeah, you'll stay for that, won't you?
I will. I'd be delighted.
Okay, stay tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Advertise on New Sound Radio.